As far as finding something to land on was concerned, they didn't do very well. The planet they found was desolately cold and lonely, so achingly far from the sun that should warm it, that it took all of the Enviroform machinery and life support systems they carried with them to render it, or at least enough parts of it, habitable. There were better planets nearer in, but the ship's strategomat was obviously locked into lurk mode, and chose the most distant and unobtrusive planet, and furthermore would not be gainsaid by anybody other than the ship's chief strategic officer. Since everybody on the ship had lost their minds, no one knew who the chief strategic officer was, or even if he could have been identified, how he was supposed to go about gainsaying the ship's strategomat. As far as finding something to monitor was concerned, though, they hit solid gold. Chapter 2. One of the extraordinary things about life is the sort of places it's prepared to put up with living. Anywhere it can get some kind of a grip, whether it's the intoxicating seas of Santraginus V, where the fish never seem to care whatever the heck kind of direction they swim in, the firestorms of Phrastra, where they say life begins at 40,000 degrees, or just burrowing around in the lower intestine of a rat for the sheer unadulterated hell of it. Life will always find a way of hanging on in somewhere. It will even live in New York, though it's hard to know why. In the wintertime, the temperature falls well below the legal minimum, or rather it would do if anybody had the common sense to set a legal minimum. The last time anybody made a list of the top 100 character attributes of New Yorkers, common sense snuck in at number 79. In the summer, it's too darn hot. It's one thing to be the sort of life form that thrives on heat and finds, as the Frestrans do, that the temperature range between 40,000 and 40,004 is very equable, but it's quite another to be the sort of animal that has to wrap itself up in lots of other animals at one point in your planet's orbit, and then to find, half an orbit later, that your skin's bubbling. Spring is overrated. A lot of the inhabitants of New York will honk on mightily about the pleasures of spring, but if they actually knew the first thing about the pleasures of spring, they would know of at least 5,983 better places to spend it than New York, and that's just on the same latitude. Fall, though, is the worst. Few things are worse than fall in New York. Some of the things that live in the lower intestines of rats would disagree, but most of the things that live in the lower intestines of rats are highly disagreeable anyway, so their opinion can and should be discounted. When it's fall in New York, the air smells as if someone's been frying goats in it. And if you're keen to breathe, the best plan is to open a window and stick your head in a building. Tricia McMillan loved New York. She kept on telling herself this over and over again. The Upper West Side, yeah, Midtown, hey, great retail. Soho, the East Village, clothes, books, sushi, Italian, delis, yo. Movies, yo, also. Tricia had just been to see Woody Allen's new movie, which is all about the angst of being neurotic in New York. He had made one or two other movies that had explored the same theme, and Tricia wondered if he had ever considered moving, but heard that he had set his face against the idea. So, more movies, she guessed. Tricia loved New York because loving New York was a good career move. It was a good retail move, a good cuisine move, not a good taxi move or a great quality of pavement move, but definitely a career move that ranked amongst the highest and the best. Tricia was a TV anchor person, and New York was where most of the world's TV was anchored. Tricia's TV anchoring had been done exclusively in Britain up to that point, regional news and breakfast news, early evening news. She would have been called, if the language allowed, a rapidly rising anchor, but, hey, this is television, what does it matter? She was a rapidly rising anchor. She had what it took, great hair, a profound understanding of strategic lip gloss, the intelligence to understand the world, and a tiny secret interior deadness that meant she didn't care. Everybody has their moment of great opportunity in life. If you happen to miss the one you care about, then everything else in life then becomes eerily easy. Tricia had only ever missed one opportunity. These days it didn't even make her tremble quite as much as it used to think about it. She guessed it was that bit of her that had gone dead. NBS needed a new anchor. Mo Minetti was leaving the USAM breakfast show to have a baby. She had been offered a mind-bubbling amount of money to have it on the show, but she had declined, unexpectedly, on grounds of personal privacy and taste. Teams of NBS lawyers had sieved through her contract to see if these constituted legitimate grounds, but in the end, reluctantly, they had to let her go. This was for them particularly galling, because normally, reluctantly letting someone go was an expression which had its boot on quite another foot.